This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Thank you very much, Christopher Lahr. By the way, Earth to Rob Manfred, you need ESPN more than ESPN needs you. So you might have to take a little less money.
Yeah, this is the last year, so to speak, that Major League Baseball will be on the four-letter network.
Correct.
We'll see. I think they'll find a way, but it probably will be, like you said, for less money.
Yeah. I mean, look, ESPN sitting there said, wait, we pay what, $500 million a year or something like that?
Yeah, 550, yeah.
Yeah, $550 million a year, and you're putting games on Roku for 11 o'clock in the morning for $10 million or whatever they're doing? I mean, seriously.
Same with Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 248-539-9797. Tonight at Chrysler Center, Michigan will be hosting Michigan State. First time these teams have met in the Dusty May era.
Yes. The first year of the Dusty May era.
I know.
Yes.
Hope yes. Michigan
That's
fans.
That's Dusty,
hope,
not Dustin.
Yes. Michigan fans hope it's an era. Not an era.
Yes. And we hope that the era lasts more than 1 year because, you know, we heard about the Indiana job opening up. Mm-hmm. We know his roots in the Hoosier State. But yeah, we hope that there is an era here in Ann Arbor.
Yes. And what you have here, besides the obvious, you know, rivalry between the two schools and the two fan bases, is something different because of what Michigan had to do to basically get a team together. It's the portals versus the non-portals. And I'm not blaming, that's just the way college basketball, college all sports are right now. Michigan State has refrained from going into the portal a lot. They have had, you know, I mean,
it's not like there's nobody from another team on.
Right. Frankie Fiddler. But they don't go really deep sea fishing into the portal like other schools do.
Right.
I mean, they had, you know, what's his name from, the guard from last year was really, really good. What the heck's his name? Tyson.
Walker,
yeah.
Yeah.
My mind went blank. I mean, because he was a transfer. They've had like Bryn Forbes in the past. I think kid Brandon Wood. They've had others. Michigan, because of the coaching situation, and you know, they had guys leave too. The majority of the team guys who play a lot are portal guys.
Yeah,
I mean, even ones who stayed from last year was Burnett is a portal player. Obviously, the two big guys, Danny Wolf and Golden, are portal
51.
Players. I even got a guy from the portal from Ohio State, and Roddy Gale.
Yep.
And Donaldson's a portal guy, right? I mean, they got tons of them, and that's just the way it is. And they had no choice if they wanted to be competitive.
It's the modern era of college athletics. It's not unique to basketball.
No. I know.
It is football. It's every sport.
Yes. That's what the NIL and the portal has done. You know, some might like it, some might not like it. Sometimes, you know, in basketball, where you're really good players, because of one and done and things like that, you're used to, you know, losing players. Now it's you lose players, you get them back, you get different players. I mean, it's more free agency like in basketball right now than even football.
Right. Yeah. So there's more portal players for Michigan than there are Michigan State. That's the point
yes.
of this.
Yes. Exactly.
And I mean, that's, because you could look at it both ways where, okay, it's hard to figure out a team. By this time of the year, I think everybody's figured out who's on your team.
Yes.
But on the other side, too, it is the modern way to construct your roster.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Coach Izzo, his reluctance to hit the portal. And I understand it. I trust me. I get it. I would lean more towards Coach Izzo and the way that he does things because of his decades of experience in the way college athletics were built previously
mm-hmm.
versus now. He's kind of handling it like Dabo Sweeney does on the college football side of things. Like he hasn't gone to the portal. In fact, Greg, is it zero that they've taken out of the portal?
I believe the number is zero, and that's what's different. I mean, Izzo has gotten transfers to supplement their roster, which I've always said, like, you want the transfer portal to supplement your roster.
Exactly.
Football perspective, you don't want to be Clemson, but you don't want to be Florida State.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. And we see what's Clemson been in the last 4 years, 5 years?
Nothing. Well, right. Not nothing. They may be in the playoff this year, right?
No. Were they in the playoff this year?
Yeah, they won the ACC.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yes.
They've been
less than. Yes.
They're not
right.
the
right.
the plums of the crop, as Stoney would say, in college football anymore.
That's a beauty. Yeah, but it's how teams are constructed right now. And that brings us to tonight's matchup.
Right. Now, like we discussed this briefly a couple of days ago, Michigan's biggest rival in basketball is Michigan State. There's no doubt about it.
Correct.
It's not Ohio State.
No, and I know that after they played Ohio State, both programs said that they would like to play twice a year. I understand that. I don't know if it's feasible by the Big Ten in terms of their scheduling. The one that should face every year is Michigan State.
Do you remember there was a couple years, I know at least one, maybe others, where Michigan and Michigan State were only scheduled to have one Big Ten game and they played a second game anyway that didn't count in the Big Ten standings? You don't remember that? I do, and it was so weird.
Yeah, I'm curious though, because obviously that's the way I think of it. Because Michigan State has been the team that has been more of the gold standard.
Yes,
in basketball than Michigan has.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to play Michigan State. I'm curious, Michigan State, is the feeling the same?
I think Michigan State. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, 248-539-9797. Michigan State's main rival in everything is Michigan. Whether it's football, basketball, hockey, academics,
mm-hmm.
They always feel disrespected. We don't think our school's that good. I mean, Michigan will always be their biggest rival. I do think, though, that there was a time when Michigan had a few down years, where it was Michigan, I always thought Wisconsin became Michigan State's biggest rival for a few years on
in basketball.
Yeah, because of the Bo Ryan effect.
Oh, sure.
Dracula.
Yeah. And it hasn't really, the Greg Gard era hasn't really carried on as much. Early in a couple, first couple of years, they had
unless you're Juwan Howard.
Never miss an opportunity, do you?
No.
I mentioned it earlier. But yeah, I am curious from Spartan fans. Do you see this one as we want to play Michigan twice a year? And maybe you do, because for a long time you had the upper hand, right?
Right.
And it was two wins.
Oh, Michigan would be playing Michigan State at Chrysler, and it was like Breslin, East, so
right.
to speak.
Yeah, yeah. The Spartan fans traveled.
Yes.
Yes. To that team down the road. I know you love how rivals talk about each other.
That's why I love the fact. Izzo says Michigan, right? Dusty May was saying Ohio State. He says Michigan State. It's more the jackholes in Columbus more than anybody else. Although Mel Tucker used to say, "What the team down the road?"
Right. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why I reference that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's yes. Yes. Coming from the woodshed.
Yes. Hey, they're just a phone call away, aren't they, Mel?
It's not even a long distance call. spent as long a time as you want on that phone call. I know. Not going to cost you any extra.
That could be one of my underrated all-time worst takes. I like the way Michigan State was building their program. I love the way Tucker's doing it. In modern football, the way they're social media.
The transfer portal.
All this stuff, you know, relating to the players, hanging out with a cigar.
Yeah, there's dogs.
Yeah. They're doing it the right way. Harbaugh needs to be more like Mel Tucker. Okay. All right. Well, 3-2-1 on your text. Well, at least Mel Tucker didn't cheat. Cheated on his wife, though.
I don't even need to go there. I know Stoney will.
So tonight's game, does it mean as much to – is this a bigger game for Michigan or Michigan State, John?
So, I mean, I know in terms of the rankings, rankings don't really mean anything right now. But Michigan is 12, Michigan State's 14. You look at the power rankings that I think it was CBS Sports, Michigan was 5, and I don't think Michigan State was in the top 10. None of that really matters. It's about the perception of the programs. And I think the perception is still that Michigan State with Izzo, and we all know you start with a hard schedule, and, you know, he talks about scheduling hard and that this team is, you know, all the Izzo's things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the year, they're playing high-level basketball. I think this one is bigger for Michigan because beating Michigan State in basketball really means something. And the fact that they are a team right now atop the Big Ten, if you ask most people outside of Ann Arbor or East Lansing, and really outside of Big Ten country, and you said, who do you think is atop the Big Ten? Most people would say Michigan State.
Right.
You know, not knowing what the actual records
are. Or Purdue.
Yeah, they wouldn't say Michigan. So for the perception of how your program is perceived, what that is, this is a bigger opportunity for Michigan than it is Michigan State.
248-539-9797. It's also going to be interesting to see how this game breaks down to a certain extent with, you know, Michigan with, you know, their bigs, but Michigan State has a lot of them.
Yes.
97 won the ticket.
Hey, we're talking college basketball, and we know that March is right around the corner, and college basketball is reaching its most exciting stretch of the season right now. New customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's $150 extra bucks to bet on everything from, hey, maybe it's the conference tournaments at the end of the year. Maybe it's a tournament upset. Even who's going to be cutting down the nets at the end of the season. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's absolutely no better time to do it than right now. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you're going to get paid instantly. So all you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and get in on the college hoops action before March gets here. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That gave the United States a 2-1 lead. Canada tied it on a beautiful shot by Sam Bennett. What a great shot that was. He had a little bit of room up top, and he beat Hollebeck, and then in overtime. As we know, Connor McDavid with the game winner, as he was left all alone. Austin Matthews turned the wrong way, and McDavid in the slot. Really nice play by Marner. And Canada wins it 3-2. Well-deserved. Great game. Great tournament. Everybody who's a hockey fan, and even those who were watching, you know, from afar, not big hockey fans, really should have enjoyed the entertainment of it and the competition of it. And kudos to our Canadian friends. They won.
Yep.
And we lost. All right. Michigan, Michigan State tonight. We'll take your phone calls, 248-539-9797. Do want to get a little football news for you. And concerning a former Detroit Lion, who most people really like, but there are some people who can't stand him. But anyway, and his name is Matthew Stafford. And, you know, sportsbetting.ag has come out with odds for Stafford's next team in case the Rams and he do not come to an agreement on a new contract. Because the rumor is that they want to get rid of him, trade him. So here are the odds. The Detroit Lions, by the way, 50-1.
Okay.
The only way that would happen is if Goff got hurt during the off season. That would.
Right. It would have to happen pretty much now.
Yes. All right. So the leading team, as far as odds goes, the Minnesota Vikings at 3-1.
Okay.
Giants at 4-1. Raiders 5-1. Colts 6-1. Jets at 8-1, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-1, and then there's a bunch of others as well.
So let's just talk about him being in division with the Vikings. I know that there's a lot of people that, oh, man, can Matthew Stafford just go away? I have no problem with that. We've beaten Matthew Stafford. We will beat Matthew Stafford again. We've beaten the Vikings. We will beat the Vikings again. I don't care.
Mine has nothing to do with Matthew Stafford going away, the stories and all that. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just looking talent. I would rather face the Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy or whoever else they're going to put in there than Matthew Stafford, because I think Matthew Stafford is better than all of them. So that's why.
Oh, there's no question.
That's my reason.
Right. I'm just not afraid of it.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
No, but if you listen to some talk show host, oh my gosh, if he goes there, they're a lock to win the Super Bowl, the division. The Lions will never actually, you know, make the playoffs again. And you know, is it possible that he unlocks more of Justin Jefferson and Atkins and, you know, Hockenson? Absolutely. He's a better quarterback. Addison, yeah, sorry. But I'm not as concerned as most people. I like the great competition that the Vikings were.
I know. You've never been one of those guys who said, oh, I hope we play this team because they're easier.
No, I want to play the best, which is what I love about this upcoming schedule. Is you are playing, and especially on the road, the best quarterbacks and some of the best teams in all of the NFL, and it's a chance to prove that you are the best. If you're going to be Super Bowl champs, if we keep talking about a Super Bowl championship, then you have to be the best of 32.
Right.
So playing any one of the other 31 should not scare you. And I don't care who it is. But there is another scenario.
Ooh.
Stafford may end up. It was reported yesterday, I think I saw it on ESPN, that they have begun conversations about trading Matthew Stafford, and we know that they've already went public and Cooper Kupp went public with that they want to trade Cooper Kupp, that they would both be traded as a package deal.
Ooh, the Stafford Kupp package?
Uh-huh, yes, to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who need a quarterback.
Yeah.
They also need somebody like Cooper Kupp, and this was the advantage of throwing Cooper Kupp into the deal, not that he's a throw-in, that George Pickens needs a little veteran leadership to get his head on straight, to play a little bit more consistent, to, you know, not be such of a drama queen. And I think this would be a great addition for the Pittsburgh Steelers. First of all, quarterback, huge upgrade.
Yes.
Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, it's a huge upgrade. And George Pickens is a really good receiver. You put Matthew Stafford with a really good receiver, and you're going to get better results. And you put Cooper Kupp, you know, and you have two weapons. Now you're going to get better results. Now, I don't know if they re-sign Najee Harris or not, what they're going to do with the offensive line, because they're going to have to upgrade the offensive line mm-hmm. if Matthew Stafford's going to be your – you're going to make that investment. You got to make the counter investment in offensive line.
So what does your sources or the ESPN see? What would the compensation be?
Well, the Rams want draft capital. It didn't say what – it would be. So it's not going to be, you know, Kupp for Pickens and,
right.
you know, Stafford for Justin Fields. That's not, you know, it's not player for player. It's that it would include picks and likely at least a first round pick and then other compensation to be determined later. But
it's interesting. He would definitely help them. Both of them would help them there. It'd be good. Mike Tomlin, you know what, Arthur Smith's their offensive coordinator.
Yep, their offensive coordinator.
I think it makes them better, obviously, but you know, the Rams, what would they do? Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh. That would be so entertaining.
I know.
I'd be so happy to see that relationship.
Aaron Rodgers and Sean McVay?
Oh, yeah.
Two peas in a pod. All right, it's time for news, and here's Heather.
There's an employee at a Macomb County donut shop that shot and killed an alleged armed robber on Thursday afternoon. Apparently, there was a man in his mid-30s walked into Golden Donuts with what appeared to be a gun while demanding cash. Well, an employee there also took out a gun during this robbery, shot the suspect. The suspect was able to leave, drove away from the scene, was found a short distance away in his vehicle, transported to a local hospital where he later died from his injuries. The employee was interviewed by police and released. A popular sledding hill in Westland is closed after multiple serious injuries have been reported. The hill, which is known as Dead Man's Hill, is closed indefinitely after a 10-year-old girl was injured on Wednesday. Officials say the girl and her friend were there sledding when they slid into water near the hill. The girl was seriously hurt, along with two adults as well who were hurt during this sledding incident. Now, earlier this morning, I talked about this, and I think I got it a little wrong. I read the article a little backwards. It wasn't the child, 10-year-old, seriously injured, but I don't know her injuries. It was an adult who got seriously injured, a traumatic brain injury. I read it as it was the mom of the daughter.
Oh, okay.
However, it was the mom of the adult who was talking.
Oh.
So this woman... I guess, went into the woods while she was sledding, hit her head on a tree.
Ooh.
She remains in critical condition after suffering a traumatic brain injury. The mother also says she suffered a stroke during the incident. So I read that as it was the 10-year-old.
Yeah.
10-year-old was seriously hurt, but I don't know her injury.
Yes,
so,
when you, you know, you said a stroke
yes.
for a 10-year-old, I never heard of a child
I hadn't either.
Having a stroke.
Well, I mean, when you have internal injuries, a lot of things can happen.
So,
I know.
I had just, I read and took the article the wrong way. So fixing that. But they do say anyone who goes sledding on this hill now will be issued a citation. So stay away. The woman accused of abandoning her, well, not accused, she did, abandon her three children for several years, had her bond set at $250 million. On Thursday, Kelly Bryant was formally charged with three counts of first-degree child abuse. The judge said the bond was necessary because she deemed Bryant a flight risk and also a danger to the community, to any children under the age of 18. The judge said, you know what, if she could have had it her way, she would have said no bond, but she said legally, she had to issue a bond, but she did note that she has concerns that this woman could try to contact those three children,
and coerce them,
into not communicating or with the authority. So, if you've got little ones at home, you got to listen up. There's some changes coming to Michigan's car seat laws for this year.
Yeah.
It goes into effect April 2nd. It's interesting because I thought this already was the law, so I didn't realize it's changing.
Yeah, there's just some adjustments.
Yes, some. So let's see. Children must remain in a rear-facing car seat until at least 2 years old or until they outgrow the height and weight requirements.
Yeah.
I thought that always was the law, but previously it was under one should remain rear-facing. Additionally, children must use a car seat rear or front-facing until at least 5 years old or until they outgrow
the seat.
The seat, right? And previously, the law required children under the age of four in a car seat. And then there's no changes to the booster seat requirements. It says it remains that children under the age of 8 or less than 4 feet 9 inches tall need to use a booster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ted'll be on his car seat next week.
How tall is he?
You know what? Actually, so Jack went through a growth spurt recently. So this weekend we're going to do the remeasurement, and I'll have that answer for you on Monday.
All right.
By the way, you want to feel old, especially Gov, because he's been there from the beginning. Monday, my daughter's turned 25.
Oh, how exciting!
25 years old. Oh my Lord, that's incredible. All right. Coming up next, the Tigers, baseball, spring training, Grapefruit League action tomorrow. What do you think? Was last year a fluke or a mirage? 97 won the ticket. .248-539-9797. I know a lot of people slept a little later today because they went to bed a little later because they stayed up for overtime last night.
Yep.
Canada defeated the United States 3-2 to win the Four Nations face-off. A tremendous game. Congratulations to Canada. Connor McDavid with the winning goal. Dylan Larkin was really good last night. Dylan Larkin was really good the whole tournament and showed that he definitely belonged. The Pistons back in action tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. And Wemby is done for the year. That's kind of sucks for the league, sucks for the Spurs. But knowing the Spurs, although they did win last night, they'll somehow, you know, be in the lottery. And just like Tim Duncan and, you know, like Wemby, you watch, they'll get Cooper Flag.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works for some strange reason. Wings back in action tomorrow afternoon. Back-to-back games at LCA. It's the Minnesota Wild tomorrow afternoon. And then Sunday at 6, it's the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. All right. Also tomorrow, Tigers spring training. The Grapefruit League begins. There were some games yesterday, but the Tigers don't start until tomorrow when they take on the Philadelphia Phillies. And Kenta Maeda is going to make his debut.
Yep. A lot of guys will make their debut.
Yeah, right, first game, yes.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, okay, first their debut for the season.
Well,
but
because
yes.
Yes, Maeda, obviously, was on the team last year.
Really excited to see these guys. And we probably won't be able to see them. I don't know if it's actually going to be broadcast anywhere we'll be able to watch. If anybody knows, I tried to look yesterday if it's MLB, if it's Tigers' website. I don't know that you'll be able to actually see it, but you'll be able to hear it over on our sister station, 1270.
That's right.
It will be broadcast, so you get a chance to hear. Gov, is Dan doing the game? That we get the A team. There's no.
Dan will be on it. I'm not sure about color yet.
Okay.
That changes a lot in the.
In
spring training.
Yeah, but this is a moment that I will be turning my radio on, no matter what I'm doing, to listen and hear Dan's voice. It is to me the start of spring, and it doesn't look like it out here, but it starts to feel a little bit more like summer, spring, Tiger season. All of that is right around the corner, and it's the excitement. What is this team going to be this year? It's our first opportunity to hear anything about live baseball.
Yeah, no, and it's actually a little bit early this year. The regular season opener is March 27th against the Dodgers, so yeah. It just seems like it came on really quick, and it's kind of interesting. I know you mentioned this very early in the show, but the weather is actually supposed to start warming up around here a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And it just feels like, yes, we're at the end of the marathon, and with that is baseball. I mean, there's nothing like the just hearing the first games and
the crack of the bat.
Getting jealous of the weather down there.
Yeah.
But then it's also starting to turn here. But, yeah, I think I'm very curious about where Tiger fans are at. This team made the playoffs last year.
They were six outs away, basically, from going to the ALCS.
They won a round.
Yes.
You know, their general manager gets quite a bit of heat around here, it seems like, for not spending and ownership. This team made the playoffs last year, people. And I'm getting the feeling that people think it was a fluke. And that my expectation is that they will make the playoffs.
Yes. That's my expectation as well, that they take a step forward.
So is it a failure if they don't?
It's weird. To answer you, I do think last year was a fluke, but I still think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I don't think the two have anything to do with each other.
Oh, no?
Yeah, no.
The development of the young players didn't mean anything?
Well, no. I mean, it's fine. Yeah,
building on that for this year?
No, they'll get better. But I'm saying the whole chaos and all that kind of stuff, that I don't think that is sustainable. That's all I'm saying.
No, 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 no. And right. I think most people think it is. But right. you can use it still when you need it.
Yes.
But they do have pretty good pitching.
Yes, they do.
You know? And
pretty good. They got great pitching.
If Job comes on and contributes at some point during the season, which I think he will in the latter half, and the hitting, I think, gets a little bit better.
Right.
I don't see why people would think they wouldn't. I would equate last year's Tiger season maybe to the Lions 9-8 year where they missed out on the tiebreaker. What was it, Seattle that got in?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Tigers just lost, or the Tigers benefited from, you know, a slim margin against their competition to get in the playoffs. But I do think the Tigers are on the path, and there seems to be like this feeling to me like, you know, it was just a cute little thing last year, and I don't sense like an excitement towards the season.
A belief.
Yeah.
There's no belief. And Stoney, like you, I don't think they do it the same way. I think this year it's more of a traditional path where you do have, you got starting pitchers more than just one, and then chaos for the next 4 days. You're going to have Tarek Skubal. You're going to have Jack Flaherty. You're going to have Reese Olson. Where the chaos may come in is
if there's injuries.
But even at the start of the season, injuries aside, because Cobb won't be there.
Right.
So it is, what is Casey Mize going to be? Is he, you know, is this the year where he finally makes that recovery from Tommy John and he's what we had hoped, even a measure of what we hoped he would be? Is he going to be number four? Is it going to be Maeda? Will Jackson Joe be in the starting rotation at the beginning of the season?
Will Matt Manning make the team this year? I don't know. Everybody, you know, he's got a new number. I don't know all the stuff that you read about Spencer. I don't know. I'm looking at the over-unders. Okay, so the Tigers and I believe it's the Minnesota Twins are co-favorites, 83.5. That's from the Action Network. Cleveland, who won the division last year, 82.5. Kansas City also at 82.5. And the White Sox at 52.5.
How many divisions have four teams over 500 on over-unders?
I don't know.
I think that's why they're all maybe a little low.
Yeah,
they
probably
don't have a clue who's going to. They're protecting themselves against any of them.
Probably, yeah. So 248-539-9797. Is it a failure, do you think, if the Tigers don't make the playoffs? Because I agree with you. I do think it's a failure because the division is not that strong. I do expect them to get better. And look, they did make it last year, whether it was a fluke or whatever. That's irrelevant to me right now. I just think they're going to be better, and I think they should make the playoffs. And if they don't, it's going to be because of a catastrophic injury or something like that.
So let me ask you this. Not that I want to go position by position, but Colt Keith in his second year, moving to first, Gleyber Torres at second. Is that going to be better offensively, those two guys, than they were last year? I think Colt Keith will probably take a step forward.
Yes, hopefully,
and Gleyber Torres, I think he'll do better because it was Spencer Torkelson at first last year for a large part of the season.
So Torres will do better than the second baseman last year, who was Keith, who'll probably do better than the first baseman there last year.
Right, so the combo, I think, will be an upgrade. Now you think about the other side of the field. Now, here's the big question. Defensively, who's going to be the third baseman? We talked about that ad nauseum. And whether it's Vierling, Jace Young, or if it's Hau-Yu Lee, he capitalizes on the momentum that he has going into spring training. And Trey Sweeney at shortstop. Dare I say?
Yeah, Javi. You know, who knows?
Do we expect that will have more production. Whatever combination it might be will be better than the combination that they had last year.
I think it's probably the same or a little better. Yeah.
A little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit better. I'll take a little bit better.
Yes.
All right, and the pitching situation, Tarek Skubal.
I don't know if you can expect him to be better than he was last year, but he'll be hopefully. I don't know if he's going to win another Cy Young, but he'll be really, really good.
We only had Flaherty up until the trade deadline. Correct. So we get a whole season with him.
Hopefully he won't have to do back injections and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's something to worry about.
Reese Olson.
Hopefully he won't get hurt. Yes.
Jackson Jobe. Casey Mize.
Casey Mize, I don't know, man.
But I'm talking about in terms of...
Better than he was last year? I don't know. He might not even make the team.
No, I agree. But will the starting five, and some of it is with the idea that they don't have to go to the pitching chaos as much early in the season, but they'll have at least three in the rotation that you could count on to start the season.
Yes, you would think so. So, yeah, I mean.
Jake Rogers behind the plate. No, I mean, offensively, you're not going to get a whole lot. No. I mean, maybe some key hits here and there. But
Dingler will be the backup the entire season, so that might be an upgrade. I don't know.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about the outfield with Riley Green and Parker Meadows.
Carpenter, DH.
Right.
Or outfield.
I have higher expectations going into this year than I certainly did last year. And part of that is the excitement coming out of a playoff run. I think if they don't make the playoffs this year with this roster, do I expect them to make the World Series and win the World Series? No. I do expect them to be a postseason team.
Yeah, I do too. I think they should, at least get one of the wild cards, you would think. I mean, they're good enough to win the division. I still think Cleveland might be a little bit better. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it would be a failure. If you go from where they were last year, where they got to the second round, they got to the ALDS, almost got to the ALCS, and not make the playoffs, step down. That would be a failure. Yep. 97 won the ticket.
A personal injury of any sorts is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Feminino has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need and deserve to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Feminino. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Feminino at 855-65-CRASH. Or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Great game, great tournament. Canada wins it 3-2. McDavid with the goal, 248-539-9797. Open lines if you want to talk about that. That's fine as well. We were talking a little Tiger baseball here, and we checked the over-unders, and the Tigers and the Minnesota Twins are both 83.5. Cleveland's at 82.5, along with Kansas City, and Chicago's at 52.5. And Gov, yes, your answer is correct. Tigers are the AL Central is the only division with four teams with 81 or more wins as they're over under totals. However, they're only the only division with nobody over 90 either. So there's no great team in there.
It's going to be tight.
Yes, it is. All right, here's some ticket texts. If anyone's criticism of Scott Harris is, quote, he didn't spend, they've absolutely zero ball knowledge and just follow the crowd. They spend, they're like now middle of the pack, right? Isn't that what everybody wanted? Middle of the pack? They're like 17th or 18th?
Well, the people that will point out, though, that some of that's Javi. And they'd be bottom tier team without him.
Well, that's not Scott Harris. He didn't sign him in a contract.
Listen, my belief here is I was really fascinated by what they've done last year. And me and Jim especially have sparred in terms of the way the Tigers are doing this. And I have been patient with it because I think it requires patience in baseball. I think what the Tigers are going to end up doing here is blend and spend. That's what this is going to be. It's going to be a blend of money ball, and they're going to spend strategically. And I think Bregman... They didn't do it recklessly.
No.
And you have to understand that this team has to operate with a budget at all times.
Although
in the market that they're in. But they do. I'm not being a defender here completely. They better spend eventually.
Although I would say offering that guy 6 years is kind of reckless.
Well,
which is fine. I mean,
yeah, but
whatever.
Hey, you know, Here's the deal with the Tigers. This is that I believe in baseball right now. If you have two guys playing third base, one's a righty and one's a lefty, and you match them up correctly against the opposing pitcher with using analytics, that they can perform above average collectively. I think that's what the Tigers are doing. And people might not like that. The Tigers are taking an approach that our lineup's not going to look the same every day. They're playing matchups. That's what they did last year. They exposed matchups. I mean, who in the world, who in the playoffs changes their leadoff hitter based on matchups? Molloy was right against the lefty, Boyd.
Right.
And Meadows led off. Now, Meadows needs to prove that I think he needs to become an everyday leadoff hitter this year. He needs to be, when he's facing the lefties, be able to lead off and handle it because of his speed.
Yep.
This offense is going to hold them back. They didn't improve offensively enough. Gleyber Torres isn't enough. That's fair. However, you're not allowing the natural progression of people like Riley Green, even Kerry Carpenter, and others, Colt Keith, to get better.
Well, and so Kerry Carpenter, it's just a matter of staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he missed a large chunk of last year. Mm-hmm. When he came back, that is, it also coincided with them going on their run.
Drew in Woodhaven texts, no spending or anything longer than a one-year deal equals no excitement. The owner and GM do not seem to believe that there's any reason to be encouraged enough in this team to invest in it, so why should I? That's from Drew in Woodhaven. Well, they tried with Bregman.
And they ultimately didn't get the deal done, correct, but it's not for lack of money or years.
Right. They definitely do need another right-handed bat, and whether it's through trade or whatever, there's still a couple of people hanging around who don't have jobs yet. What the Tigers did to finish out the season was once-in-a-lifetime thing we haven't seen in like 50 years. I don't think they're that much stronger. I think their offense is going to be better.
I think the biggest yes, I think their offense is going to be better. I'm curious as to how much better, but this is also a pitching staff that at the end of last year, part of that, what made that so unique was the chaos and the ability to pull the strings at the right time that AJ Hinch did. I don't think he's going to be forced to be pulling all of those strings early on in the season.
The Tigers need to be patient with Job. I see what you did there. No belief. I think we win the division. Okay, good.
Yes.
Worst defensive infield in all of baseball, no right-handed hitting, and two catchers who can't hit their weight. Oh, and two garbage cans by the name of Maeda and Cobb. Last year was a facade. Fourth place is the most likely finish. That's Damon and Fraser. Well, a lot of baseball, obviously, especially if you don't have a great team, is based on hope and ifs. And I'm sitting there. Cobb, to me, I wasn't a big fan of that signing.
Yeah.
And Maeda, look, he struggled last year, but the flip side is he probably can't do worse. So if he at least can, you know, do what they thought he would get last year.
Not a great sell.
I know.
He
it's
can't
not,
be
it's,
worse.
It's not a great sell. But
well, but okay, so if he isn't, was he not better as a middle reliever?
Yeah.
A long reliever.
He was better.
Okay, so maybe that's where he is in his career. And here's where I think they continue to be better than a lot of people think. It's AJ Hinch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is one of the best managers in all of baseball. We saw it last year, how he was able to manufacture wins. How many of those wins, obviously players have to go out and perform, but were manufactured by AJ Hinch?
Quite a few. Guys, we have to judge Keith different too now that he's a first baseman who isn't a great fielder. He has to be able to rake for him to be worth that he's going to be a 800 OPS guy.
Good point. I agree with that.
Yes. The Tigers overachieved to me coming that close to the ALCS, and usually when you overachieve one year, the next year balances out and we don't make the playoffs or get bounced wild card. To me, if they don't make the playoffs, it's a failure.
With Meadows and Keith, think about if they just avoid the long slumps.
Right. Yeah, the prolonged
think about
production.
The difference that will make on the win total. Just with those two.
And Torres is a proven hitter. I mean, he's not going to be
Yeah, and he's on a contract year. This is humongous for him to make money in the future.
To me, it's simple as if Skubal starts 35 games and we miss the playoffs, it's a failure because we have the weapon. We have the weapon to win you a World Series. He's like an average team having an elite goalie in the playoffs. If he continues to be what he's doing, yes, absolutely. This is the year the young development has to take its toll for them. Job needs to contribute. Meadows needs to show last year wasn't a fluke. Young needs to show signs. If we win 85 and miss the playoffs, it's not a failure to me. That would be interesting. Win 85. Well, 86 has always been your number, but 85 would be a good season.
Yeah.
I would assume they'd make the playoffs with that, or at least win the division. The Tigers have what it takes to win in the playoffs, an elite starter and then a great bullpen. It's about getting there and being healthy.
Well, and we're also hoping that, the development. And we know that the risk, we saw the risk last year with Parker Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we thought that he was going to come and light things on fire, and it took him a long time. It took him a trip down to AAA to come back and be productive. Spencer Torkelson. We have no idea what he – well, we probably have an idea. We have a hunch that maybe that's not going to work out. But it could. There's a lot of things that could be better this year than weren't. And I think there's a lot of fans that are looking at it going, they can't possibly do that again, and they're not going to take enough steps forward.
I agree. But in fairness, there's a lot of things that could be worse than they were last year too. That's the whole thing with baseball. If. All right. Coming up next, speaking of ifs, we have four teams that have a really good chance of being in the postseason. Definitely, they all have a chance. Who's going to have the best and who's going to have the worst? 97.1 The Ticket.